Thank you, Andrew. Our scripture reading, you notice this morning, is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31. Let's pick it up at verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. What in the world are we doing in the book of Deuteronomy? Well, I trust it will be a blessing to you as we turn to God's Word today. Picking up at verse 7, then we will read through verse 18. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. More promises that God's people can count on. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year, or at the set time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Let me stop right here and say, did you notice how often they were to hear the word? Did you notice that? What was the answer? Every what? Every what? 7 years. Did you get that? Verse 10, at the end of 7 years, when all the people are gathered together, you read this to them. A number of years ago, the church, I haven't forgotten we're in the midst of scripture reading, but can we be a little loose this morning on that? Several years ago, when we first came, there was a Sunday school publisher of material called Scripture Press out of Wheaton, Illinois, or something like that. And at that time, the adult Sunday school material was on a rotation basis. Every X number of years, they would start all over and reteach the same courses for the next number of years. Anybody want to venture a guess what that number was? Every 7 years, Scripture Press started over and the teacher would be reteaching the same material. Well, that's terrible. No, it's not. And here Moses was reading with the people and he said, every seventh year you read all of this to them so that you gather the people, the men, the women, the children, and the stranger, that they may hear, that they may learn, and that they may fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, during that 7 years, children would be born. And for these upcoming ones, remind the ones that's heard it before, but for those ones that have been born during, since you read it 7 years ago, they need to hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. That was a pretty good plan, wasn't it, that God had? I think it was. Verse 14, the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, your days approach that you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, you will sleep with your fathers. And this people will rise up and go a-whoring or play the harlot after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and they will forsake me, and they're going to break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured or destroyed. Many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not all these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? God says, I'm going to turn my back on them. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word. You didn't know you were going to get a free one this morning, did you? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We do thank you, Father, for the privilege that's ours to have your word. And we thank you for this important portion of Scripture. And I pray that your Spirit would be our teacher today. I pray, Lord, that you might fill me with your Spirit, that He, the Holy Spirit of God, might control what I say or not say. So that as these folks listen today, they might sense that word that's on pastor's lips has been put there from the Lord. And it's a word that I needed to hear. We ask, Lord, that you would get all the glory. We pray for some of our own congregation that are struggling with health issues and old age issues. We pray, Lord, that you would just encourage them and strengthen them with your might. Pray that they, each one that may find themselves a bit downhearted and discouraged, they might look unto you. Even this day, you might lift their spirits. We thank you for times such as this, and what we have as we've gathered here in your presence, and we wait upon you and look unto you. In your name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. Well, let's return to that portion of Scripture that we just read a few minutes ago. You say, I closed my Bible. Well, then I'll tell you where you were. You were in Deuteronomy 31. While you're finding your place, you know that we have not had any continuity from the pulpit in our morning messages since I concluded the series on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Oh, there's been messages here, but they have not been of a particular theme, with exception now in the month of December. We did have messages in conjunction with the coming of our Savior. But so far in, can we call it now this spring? Or is this still winter? You decide. Yeah. So far, and I ask you to pray that the Lord would guide me to know where the next series ought to come from. I had a couple of suggestions from some of you. And really, let me just tell you where we're at in what we might be doing and where we might be going. I am sensing that the Lord is directing me to pick up a series in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, you say, well, Pastor, let's see, now you've been here 40 years. I remember you preached the series in the book of Romans. I know I did. But let me tell you what I did. I checked my records, and some of you might be thinking, it seems like it wasn't that long ago. Time goes fast when you're having fun. We have not been in the book of Romans for an expositional series anywhere in the 21st century. I went as far back in my records, I have them all the way from the first day I stepped into your pulpit, but I looked because I thought it hasn't been that long ago. But through the year 2000 to the present, I've not preached in the book of Romans. And God's people were instructed here by Moses every what years? Every 7 years, I guess we're long overdue for getting the book of Romans again, aren't we? So you be in prayer. Soon we will be moving in that direction as I continue to spend time anticipating a new series in that particular book. You should have, I should have given you enough time to have Deuteronomy 31 open on your laps now. And in this portion of Scripture, I want us to notice in verses 7 through 13, number 1, we find here there was a periodical reminder. A periodical reminder. And in these verses, which we read a good portion of those for our scripture this morning, we find in verses 7 and 8, there was encouragement to Joshua, the one who was chosen by God to replace Moses. In verse 7, Moses called for Joshua and spoke to him in the sight of the nation of Israel. They weren't trying to do anything secret behind closed doors. God wanted his people to know who your next leader is going to be. And so in the sight of everybody, Moses gave Joshua this charge of encouragement. And as I said, how fitting as this morning John reminded us of promises that are meaningful to us. And in that charge that God gave to Joshua, he said, Joshua, be strong. Be of a good courage. Now, the task might have been one that might have made Joshua just a bit fearful. Stop and think about it. When Israel left Egypt 40 years earlier, they are just at the tail end of the 40-year wilderness journey. There were, remember, 600,000 men out of Egypt that were numbered. Now, for all practical purposes, I think it's safe to say the majority of those men were married. Add another 500,000-600,000 women. Now you're over 1.1 million. And were they known for small families or large families? Large families. Well over, and it is conservatively estimated that close to 2 million people left Egypt when God delivered them the night of the Passover with husbands, wives, and perhaps several children in each family. And those 40 years in the wilderness, yes, those that were of 20 years of age and older, they died off, but still life went on. There was still a mass of people. And how would you like it? How would you like it if somebody would come up to you and say, I'm not going to be able to lead these anymore, but, you know, I choose you. I choose you, or I choose you to be the leader of perhaps a couple million people? How many of you would sign up for that job? Yeah. It's no wonder Moses gave him these words of encouragement and how encouraging they must have been. Now, Joshua has been kind of a sidekick of Moses for a good number of those years. But Moses, the buck still stopped with Moses. He was the leader. He was the one in charge. But here we see this transition taking place. And we find that God spoke to him through Moses, and he said, "Be strong and of a good courage." That wasn't just pie-in-the-sky words. Joshua, as you look out over here at a couple of million people, be strong and of good courage. You must go with this people unto the land, and that God promised to give their fathers, and you are the one that's going to divide it up. You're the one that's going to be in charge of them getting the inheritance. And the Lord, where's the Lord going to be in all this? Verse 8. He it is that doth go. Does your Bible say behind you? Is he going to be back there encouraging you? Go get him. Go get him. You can do it. Joshua, quit hanging back. Get out there. Is that the word that came to? No. The word is here in verse 8. The Lord, he's going to be where? He's going to be ahead of you. He's going to be the first force that the enemy is going to be contending with. All you have to do is follow him. Isn't that encouraging? How great that is. And he's going to be before you. He's going to be with you. And he will not fail you nor forsake you. So, the bottom line of all that, don't be dismayed. We could read between the lines. I know it's a frightening thought, Joshua, but listen to the promises that God is giving you. You can do it, Joshua. So, words of encouragement. And we find in verse 9, we find that there was provision made to preserve God's word. Moses wrote this law. He delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi. So, what do we see here? Moses wrote this all down for him. In case, Joshua, you ever are wondering, now what was it that Moses said? Did he say this or did he say that? Don't you appreciate having things written down? And don't you appreciate having God's word? So that when we're up against something and we ask ourselves, I know there's a verse in the scripture, I know there's a verse in the Bible and it says something, it has this phrase in it, and you run to a concordance and you discover it. Oh, there it is. There's that verse. That's how that verse reads. So provision was made. Moses wrote this all down so that if in the future Joshua ever wanted to, is that exactly how, yep, that's exactly what Moses told me. How thankful we are for the permanent record that we have. We call it the Bible today, don't we? How thankful we ought to be. And as we mentioned a while ago in that free sermon I gave you, the instruction was that they were to regularly, in verses 10 through 13, review these words with the people. We've spent enough time there already. And that's in verses 10 through 13. Every seventh year, the year of release, when everybody is gathered together. There were three times a year, every year, that the men of Israel were to gather together. And this was one of those occasions. And Moses said, now, on the seventh year, on that occasion, when everybody gathers together, the year of release, you review it. You just tell everybody to get themselves comfortable, and you have those priests just start in from start to finish and just once again review. And we saw the importance of that so that the children would hear, those children that had been born during those 7 years since it had last been read. Oh, here, son, here, daughter, listen to this. This is a good section here. Pay attention to this. This is really important. You don't want to miss this. So that they might learn, verse 13, to fear the Lord your God. Learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that the Lord is giving you. Wouldn't it be something if in churches today, in Christianity today, there was a concerted effort to periodically review God's word so that God's people would learn to fear the Lord their God? Oh, you say, well, that's what Sunday school, that's what Awana, and that's what VBS, and that's what, you know. As a whole, are people getting it? Nationwide, would you say Christianity nationwide in the USA, do you think we're getting it? When we look at the condition of churches, when you look at the condition of families, when you look at just what's going on, we're missing out on something. Oh, but they grew up in Sunday school. They went through Awana. They passed their books. Have they learned to fear the Lord? I don't care how many books were memorized. I don't care how many patches and awards and trophies and how many years in Sunday school and youth group. Have they learned to fear the Lord? In verses 7 through 13, we see in this passage there was to be a periodical reminder. But on the heels of that, number 2, we see in verses 14 through 18, Moses spoke of a predictable choice. A predictable choice. What do we see in verses 14 through 18? In these verses, we discover the sad revelation that God told Moses. That God, he said, God showed me that God's people will not remain faithful in future generations. A predictable choice is going to be made. Verse 16. You're going to sleep with your fathers, Moses. And this people right here, these and their descendants, they're going to rise up and they're going to go a-whoring after other gods. And they're going to turn away from me. The future generations are not going to choose to worship me. The future generations are going to choose to worship and follow after false gods, because they're going to go after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and they're going to forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. What covenant was that? Well, God had made several covenants, but I think particularly the one that God had said, you know, toward the end of the book of Leviticus, about chapter 25, 26, right in there, you find some lengthy chapters where God has promised them, when you get into the land, if you obey me, if you do what I tell you to do, nobody will be able to stand before you. Nobody will be able to resist you. I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to bless the work of your hands. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your flocks. I'm not even going to have any of those diseases. You're going to be able to enjoy good health if you'll just obey me. But if you choose to disobey me, then I just want you to know you're going to have nothing but trouble. Things are going to go wrong. Defeat, failure, that was what God had said. God said, I just want you to know how good it will be for you if you just remain true to me. But in this, Deuteronomy 31, as Moses was nearing the end of his life, he said, God has given me insight concerning a predictable choice that's going to be made in the future. And God has shown me that after I'm dead and gone, what the younger ones are going to choose. And they're going to choose, they're going to make a choice which is going to bring them all kinds of heartache, troubles, and sorrow. But I want us to continue on in this chapter. We didn't read these verses, but I want us to move on and see number three. After there was to be this periodical reminder, every 7 years, they were to hear the Word of God so that they couldn't say, I didn't know. I never heard this before. No, every 7 years it was to be read. Even though God had shown Moses and given him insight, there, I'm telling you, Moses, this is what's going to happen. Your people are going to become ungodly heathens after you're dead and gone. They're going to turn to the world and the ways of the world, and they're going to worship like the world. But number three, in verses 19 through 22, he said, I want to give you a permanent testimony. A permanent testimony here. In verse 31, beginning at verse 19, now therefore write you this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat, then they're going to turn to other gods and they're going to serve them and they're going to provoke me and they're going to break my covenant. It's going to come to pass when many evils and troubles have befallen them that this song, you ever noticed how sometimes songs stick with you? Jerry and I, we've laughed about this over the years. Sometimes we'll be in the car, we'll be maybe watching something, we'll hear an old song or some group will be mentioned. I listened to a lot of that when I was growing up. I listened to a lot of the rock and roll that was on the radio as I was growing up. And I'll mention such and such, and I can start giving her the words to those songs that I was listening to as a teenager. And I'll look at her and, you remember that? No. I wasn't allowed to listen to that kind of music. I could only listen to hymns. Songs. I'm telling you. I can hear the tune of a song that I haven't heard since I was 16 years old. And you know what? The words, they're there. Songs have a way of penetrating down in. God knew that. And he told Moses, when he talked about this predictable choice that's going to be made,
He said, I want you to write down all of this, and I want you to teach this to them in a song that they can sing, so that as the generations move on, this song, the words of it, the tune of it, it'll come back to them and they'll be without excuse. These words. So, verse 21, this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about. Even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear, I know what they're going to do, God told Moses. This was a predictable choice. So Moses, verse 22, wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Where is that song? Chapter 32. We're not going to take time to read it. Sorry, I don't know the melody of it. If it's like most Jewish tunes, it was probably pretty sad. Probably pretty tuneless. I mean, I hate to say that, Mark, about your heritage, but the Jewish people weren't, what would I say, the most imaginative in the tunes that they came up with. But anyway, Moses wrote it down, and we have the words there in chapter 32. So, an enduring song which would be carried over from generation to generation. So not only was there going to be every 7 years the hearing of what? The Word of God. This song was to be in their hearts and on their lips at any time, which would continually be pointing them back to, we ought to be worshiping, we ought to be true, we ought to be faithful to our God, Jehovah. But now let's go back to another portion of Scripture. Not back to, let's move on. Having heard this, having envisioned this time when Moses, at the end of his life, gathered the people together and he gave them this periodical reminder, the instructions, made reference to the predictable choice, and he instituted what was to be a permanent testimony for them. Let's fast forward a little bit. Did God really know what he was talking about? I mean, these were God's people. These were the Israelites. They're not going to turn against God, are they? They're not going to turn to other gods. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. We've bypassed the book of Joshua, which is the passage that has to do with Moses had died. Joshua, after a 30-day mourning period, took over. They entered into the promised land. They began to conquer one thing after another. The end of the book of Joshua, Joshua tells the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know why Joshua remembers Deuteronomy 31? He remembers what God had said. These people are going to prove to be unfaithful. And so at the end of Joshua's life, he challenges them. He said, I don't know about you, but me and my descendants, we're going to serve the Lord.
Judges 2. And let's look at verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. You see, in the first chapter and up to this point in Judges chapter 2, Joshua had died, and then the old folks that were of Joshua's generation, they continued to live for a while, but you don't live forever in this old body of clay. And verse 10, that Joshua's generation, they died off. And there arose another generation, younger. But what's the characteristic about this younger generation, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel? Wait a minute. I thought they were to be taught a song. They were. I thought that every 7 years there was to be a review. Read the word to these people. They did. But the younger generation was making a choice. And the children of Israel, verse 11, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam, and they forsook the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. They did just exactly what God had predicted they would do. But I want to add one more thing to our thoughts this morning. Number four. And I would like to suggest number four, a preventable decision. God had predicted this is what's going to happen, but it was preventable. What do I mean by that? They did not have to turn away from God. They did that of their own free will. Now, some might say, but wait a minute. God had predicted that they would. So that means, number two, their departure is just simply the fulfillment of God's word. So number three, what's the big deal? They were doing what God predicted they would do after all. That's a bunch of baloney, isn't it? But you know, that's how some people reason, and that's how some people think. To make that claim is basically claiming what? God, you made us turn away from you. You are the cause of our sin. Is that scriptural? No. In the book of James, in the New Testament, in James 1:13, James had this to say. He says that, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God made me do it. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God has never made anybody sin. They do that on their own. "But God, you predicted it was going to take place." Yeah, that's true. God predicted it, but may I remind you of the words in Matthew 18:17 or 18:7. Don't take time to look. I'm not going to give you a chance. It says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto the man by whom those offenses come." What are you getting at, Pastor? What I'm getting at is, you know, even in the epistles, we have some predictions that have been made. Just like in Moses and Joshua's day, God gave Moses the predicted choice that was going to, that his people would make. You know that in the epistles there are some, and in the gospels there are predictions made. For instance, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul wrote, and he said, "The time is going to come when they, people, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they're going to heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's the prediction Paul made. But may I suggest to you, yes, it's predicted that it's going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen with you. You don't have to be the one that turns away your ears. You don't have to be the one that says, "I don't want to listen to sound doctrine anymore. I don't want to embrace what is being so widespread, wholesale around us as far as what other churches teach, preach, stand for, or don't. I want the truth." Let the rest, yeah, they're going to go that way, but you don't have to go that way unless you want to, unless you choose to. Just because it's predicted doesn't mean God okays it for you to go that way. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He said here, verse 13, "Evil men, seducers, are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived." Let's see here. Even in verse you ever lose something and it's right there in front of you? What I'm looking for is, it talks about the time has come where they're going to
have a form of godliness.
Verse 5, there you go.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Having a form of churchy. There, these are people. These aren't a bunch of reprobates that don't go to church. While we're in church every time those doors are open, look at my God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Yeah, warming the pews, but Paul said, Timothy, this is going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen, and we're seeing it happen, but it doesn't have to happen with you. There can be a preventable decision made on your part.
Matthew 24, verse 12. The Lord gave a picture of end times. And he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
People are just going to grow cold toward the things of God, because sin is going to be so prevalent everywhere. It's going to happen. It's happening. But beloved, the whole emphasis of this fourth point is it doesn't have to happen with you.
As we think of these verses that we've looked at, in the darkest hours, during the times of greatest departure from the Lord, there has been a faithful remnant. Not everyone has gone astray. It's true, God told Moses and Joshua, the future generations would prove unfaithful, but no one made them become unfaithful. They could have chosen and by God's grace could have remained faithful. And even though there's predictions that have been made about this day and age in which we live, may God prompt and stir each of our hearts that we would say, by God's grace, none of those awful things are going to be true of me. Because as far as me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, it's been an enlightening portion of Scripture this morning. We just thank you and praise you for your grace, your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word. In this, we see your great love for your people, even though you know they oftentimes turn away from you, oh God. We know that we are living in the last days, and we know that people are falling all around us. Those who once were known for certain stands and certain positions and certain beliefs and standards, they're not there anymore. Oh God, give us hearts to be faithful to you. Thank you for your grace to do the right thing. Give us a heart to make the right choices. In your name I pray. Amen.